Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you so much for making this possible, and we ask that understanding would be imparted to people concerning the things that are happening in these days. And we thank you so much, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with Faction Cannot Prevail 8. And the first revelation we're going to share is Imposter Seducer. And this is by Anonymous, given to Anonymous 72523. I dreamed this man came over leading another man and around four women that came and sat in the lake with us. I believe the lake here represents peoples, as in the scriptures and revelations. The leader man sat next to David and was acting to David as if he was best friends and acting so very friendly. Well, this was Kevin C. Ray. He did act this way. He was always an imposter, seducing people to think that he was a good person. And for years, he fell into every faction that came by to prove that he was not a good person. As soon as I looked in the leader's man's eyes, I saw demons of sexual lust and perversion. Well, the dreams of our men and women, especially, proved this, and they were fulfilled in his actions. But we treated him with love, and we did our best to help him to change. His personality was like a salesperson that has much self-confidence and uses flattery and nice words to trick people to like him and to listen to him. He was that kind of person. Well, yes, this is Kevin. He was selling himself as someone that he isn't. But the demeanor of this dreamer did not know him at the time. And when witchcraft and perversion was added to Kevin because of this, he used it to seduce women and a man. I didn't feel I could trust him at all, and he didn't seem genuine, but it was like he had many faces that he would hide behind. But this man was the type of man that many people were attracted to because of his false qualities, which were just acting. David and Michael were genuine and kind to this man, like they are with everyone. But they seemed to be very wary of him also, and that's true. The leader man just talked so much as if he was with the UVM and as if he was really important, and he had much pride. It was made known that the man with him was a close friend of his, and he constantly stayed next to him shoulder to shoulder, agreeing with everything he said. Well, this was Eddie Brast. She went on to say, it seemed like he was in love with him. And this is true. He believed every lie Kevin told him, and dreams and actions proved that this was a bisexual relationship. The leader always hung out and spoke to the factious bisexuals and homosexuals from earlier factions. Going on, it says, but the four women had just met these guys at the lake. So the leader man then went and got these printed papers, and they were stapled together. He handed out one each to all of us except Michael and David. He wasn't going to impress us, that's for sure. I quickly skimmed through it. And it was basically all these pictures and words trying to convince the reader that this leader man is an awesome man And if you follow him and be friends with him, he will give you whatever you want or desire. But everything in there was highly sugar-coated, and naturally it looked innocent and good, but what was really behind it was evil. Well, of course, he is controlled by seducing and acting demons and witchcraft, and he's putting on a show. I overheard the four women saying that they love it, and a few of them desperately desired a husband, and they thought they would get a husband from this. They thought everything would be perfect, and they literally fell in love with this man just from reading these things. Well, this is a spirit of seduction and lust that he put on the women. I knew this whole thing was wrong, and it was like a scam. So I went and asked this leader man a bunch of innocent questions relating to this book thing he had. All I did was ask questions, but his own answers basically exposed himself and his evil, corrupt intentions. His evil was brought into the light from his own words in front of everyone there. He was then embarrassed about his sins being exposed in front of Michael and David, and he told the others to follow him, and he quickly left without saying goodbye. Well, this is exactly what happened when he was revealed to our body. And the Lord did that. The Lord gave the people dreams, visions, revelations, words, and we knew by his actions, seducing young women and things like that. We saw that. The other man and the four women left with him. So it was just us and Michael and David again. They were amazed that the man exposed himself, and it confirmed the actions that the rumors had said about him. I then understood that was the man the other brethren were warning us about. Yep. So here's a word given. 7:29:23. It's anonymous. A word from the Lord. Eve is to experience this path and trial. This is a teaching to help her learn and overcome. Much of the path taken is to show in a real demonstration of how vile this faction spirit is, not only for her and her children, but for others who know and see where and what she has and is currently going through. The release and final conclusion, where she will be able to come back, will occur. This will be the removal of Kevin and Eddie. And my note here is that, their note here was that I then saw them both falling to the ground while clutching their chests as having a fatal heart attack. It was like a red lightning bolt went through them both at the same time. And I know it was an archangel sent with power and authority and unstoppable might. Well, the bolt of lightning could be the sign of the judgment from God that's been threatened for some time. But the physical death could be caused by the clot shot or the same poison in the chemtrails, which often takes out the heart. And I say this because we have other dreams about Eddie, for instance, dying from snake poison coming upon him from the sky. And this has been administered by a clot shot and from chemtrails. Okay, back to the prophecy here. It is here Eve will be able to walk free from shackles and torment. In other words, after the death of these controlling spirits in these people. Only from the final conclusive event that will occur. Pray for all of their souls. Do not rejoice. Have sorrow for all. I'm in suffering for each of them. My dearest David, for you, I am with you in the physical and spirit. I know your anguish and your desire for her and all the captives to be set free. Yet this is a purification process for each. For you especially to trust me implicitly and absolutely without any holding on to or second guessing. Have you any other options but my decision? It will come to pass, and the time and the understanding on what ensued, not thought about. In other words, we won't have to think about it. We will know. We will all celebrate together. Be assured completely, I have made a way. Unquote. And then this revelation, Freeing the Children of God, Anonymous, 2021. Okay. I dreamt that I was standing in the lounge room of a man's house that I didn't know. The house was on a big property. This is representative because it's spread out, right? And it had a large driveway, and there was much space between the entrance of the property and the house. And this is representing the house of the Satanists who have God's people captive. Behind the house was a yard, but behind that was all bush, like a national park. The whole property was fenced, representing captivity. I went inside the house to get something, although I don't know what, and there were two men and a woman that lived there. And this is Kevin, Eddie, and Eve in the spiritual house. Again, this is not an individual house. This is a spiritual house. One man was the only one here right now, and he went into a separate room to grab the item that I was here for. Well, what it ended up being is that they were there for the children of God that were seduced with their slander, witchcraft, and holding them in captivity. I sensed something not right in the spirit about this place. I looked around the room and I saw what looked like a red cupboard door behind me. I walked over to it and opened it, and I saw a yellow slide that went down around in a circle leading down to the basement. Well, yellow, of course, represents danger, and this is hidden beneath the surface of their seductive smiles, and it caused captivity, because they do come on like smiling and happy, and yes, you need something they have, but you really don't. I slid down the slide and landed in the basement, where there were around 100 children all crowded together. And I believe this is representing the children of God held captive by their demons. Okay. Again, they're not in one individual house, but they're in the house of Kevin, so to speak. There was barely any room between them, and they were all different ages. That's spiritually speaking. So the ages are talking about them in the spirit. They lost a lot of ground when the faction spirits came over them, a lot of ground. Some of them even told me that, David, everything that you taught me, everything that I saw and understood is gone from my mind. So they lose a lot of ground, and they don't even believe in those things anymore. So they were all different spiritual ages, from babies to young teenagers, boys and girls. They didn't know who I was, and they never said anything to me, but I knew this was wrong. I just felt in my spirit that these children didn't belong to these people. Well, that was back in 2021, and yep, it turned out to be true. And they had been kidnapped and used for evil. I picked up two of the young children, and I told the other children to pick up younger children, and I told them to all follow me, and I will take them away from this place. There was a window that led out of the basement, and I opened it and helped all the children get out of it. The window could represent the open window to heaven that we have to Father's throne of grace. God's going to offer his grace to set the captives free, like Isaiah 61. I was surprised that the children hadn't gone out the window themselves or tried to escape. To my shock, when all the children were let out, they were all just standing there. I had expected them to have run off away from this place and to be rejoicing in their freedom. Well, the faction uses satanic brainwashing, slandering the righteous, telling them lies, mind control, manipulation, fear, and threats to keep them in bondage. So they don't think they can go anywhere else. You've seen that in religion, right? They get to telling you how good they are and how bad everybody else is, and pretty soon you don't think you can go anywhere else. This is it. No. I told them all to follow me as quickly as they can and to run to the gate. Many toddler boys ran ahead of me towards the gate. Some children walked or ran around me, but many were still behind me. And I kept encouraging all the children to keep walking as fast as they can and keep telling them that they will be going to a better place. Well, I'm sure that much of this will be done through warfare and prayers of faith, but I do believe we're coming to the end of this. So, anyway, your prayers and your faith and your warfare is important now to set the captives free, to deliver them from mental and spiritual bondage. It was a long walk to get to the front gate, and as I walked, I turned around and I could still see the house. I saw the two men and the woman standing on the deck, and they were watching all of us. I thought they would run after us, but I heard them calling out to the children to come back. Well, they know the power of this witchcraft and its curses, and they know that if these people, any that still have those spirits, they've got control, you know. Some of the children seemed to be confused whether to listen to me or the people back at the house. And some of the children were hesitant and stopped walking. And I looked behind and asked them to keep walking, and they didn't have to go back to that evil. A few of them looked at me, but then turned back and walked to the house. Well, there's much confusion operating through the faction. These are spirits put on them through brainwashing and confusion to keep them in captivity. I was still carrying babies and trying to encourage all the children to keep running towards the gate and not to look back. Yep, don't look back, like Lot's wife, right? I was always calm and speaking in a gentle, loving tone, and I felt so much love for all of these children, and I really wanted to protect them and to get them to a safe place. However, so many more of them turned back, and I was so confused about why they would want to go back. Maybe because they were not delivered from those spirits, and they were afraid to go somewhere they didn't know. All of the children, including the teens, always had a neutral facial expression. Yeah, I call it the calf at the new gate expression. They never said anything, and they didn't do anything without being told. Yes, they were used to being told what to do. They wouldn't climb out of the window and walk to the gate unless I told them. It was like they couldn't do anything by their own will, but only by being instructed by someone else. Well, this is due to captivity to Kevin's ruling demons over their individual demons. They are lifeless with a lack of love. We have to continue to pray against the faction and their witchcraft, casting down all of their plans of evil, devices, and curses over God's children. We must cast out witchcraft, voodoo, faction, criticism, lust, slander, and suspicion demons from them. And distance doesn't matter. You can do it right where you are, right? And they didn't go back to the house until they heard the voice from the people telling them to come back. It was very strange. Well, not if you understand the Jim Jones cult, which is exactly like this one in a lot of ways. They've been conditioned and controlled with satanic ritual abuse and deception of slander against others. They found this to be a place of safety from the false slander that they heard against others. And many of them were captured by slander. And if we don't listen to slander, and you have to have two or three witnesses, then it really cuts them off. They don't have any authority then. If a person just obeys the scriptures and obeys Jesus' commands in Matthew 18:15-17, if they obey that, they won't have any problems. Or if they obey Titus 3:10-11. You know, they won't have any problems. A factious person, after a first and second admonition, refuse. If you obey that, you'll be all right. I just kept moving and encouraging the children to all keep walking, and it was an easy walk to the gate. It was a little distance, but there was nothing in the way. And when we almost got to the gate, I looked up to the sky, and it was night. But I could see so many stars. But a giant strong wind started all around us, and up above there were items flying around. I saw chairs and household items, leaves, and many other random things flying high up in the sky from the strong winds, and it felt as if a cyclone was close. Well, this could represent the war in the heavenlies as we do spiritual warfare against the enemy, commanding the release of those in captivity. We see that war in Revelation chapter 12, where the dragon is seeking to control the man-child and the woman, but he is cast down by the saints and their faith, and their trust in the blood of the Lamb, etc. But Satan and the faction have already been defeated for the elect's sake. We need to continue to sing praises to God and to rejoice in the release of all those being held captive in deception. I told the children to all go through the gate, but I looked around and I saw all the teenagers walking or running back to the house. I called out to them to please not go back because they don't deserve that evil. They didn't even look at me, but kept going back to the house. Well, let me say, the older we are in the Lord, the more responsible we are to go against our flesh, which is totally against their mindset. And also, teenagers are more affected by the lure of sexual sins that are going on in this cult. Most of the children that stayed with me and went through the gate were young babies around 5 years of age, and some a little older. Notice that all the children of God in captivity are immature. And that's partially because of the demons that are come on them, which we call them the stupid demons. Okay. And partially because they were captured because they were immature in the obedience to Scripture. And Jesus said, except you become as a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, some of these really thought that they had reached their zenith, and they didn't really believe they were children, right? We all then went through the gate and were all safe, but the majority of the children went back to the house. Well, this is according to what the Lord has shown us already. We were told that only a third of those who went into faction would return. And these are the elect. Matthew 19 and 14 says, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of the heavens. Amen. Isaiah 49 and 25. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Praise be to God. Well, they said, this reminded me of the song, Enemy's Camp, where we are to take back what the enemy stole from the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I agree with that. That's very much true. Well, from here on, I'd like to say that an evil alliance of spiritual Edomites have come together to persecute Christians here and overseas. And, of course, they'll all go down as the Lord comes to judge them and stains his garments with the blood of the Edomites. Edomites, of course, are those who hated their own brother and were Judases to them. And like Judas, at least their leadership is going to die. And I say many of them, too. But we'll see. Okay, we call this Satanists joined together to murder Christians. The Catholic Satanists, with the help of JW spies, that's Jehovah's Witness spies, have just bombed a funeral party in the Middle East, killing Christians because they were converting people from their cult and eternal death. Because obviously these people are not Christians, but the Christians are, and they're sharing the simple word with people that are bringing multitudes into the kingdom. And the Christians, of course, do not resist the evil of these people, but they just share a loving revelation of truth. But the Catholics cannot stand that. The JWs can't stand that. The Coptics can't stand that because it's plundering their people, which is what we're commanded to do. Our first nasty email from a Catholic enforcer, probably a Jesuit, blamed their stabbing of our brethren to death, who did not resist them, on me, because my books speak only the Bible truth and deliver their people from hell. So he said that they would do a black mass to kill me, which is witchcraft, of course. And they did, but I'm still here. And we just received the second nasty email from an enforcer of the Catholic religion, probably a Jesuit, bragging on the deaths in the Middle East, and speaking of our own deaths in the local body very particularly, because their brethren over here in the Satanist cult have killed people in our body, both spiritually and physically. The information could only have come from our Satanist faction. It was so particular. So, who is guilty of those deaths by witchcraft? And that's headed by Kevin C. Ray. That's R-E-A. Who hacks our phones and email and stalks our women. He uses witchcraft, voodoo, and faction to overcome the minds of our women so he can violate them, a practice common to Satanists. These two Satanist groups have many things in common historically. They hate the scriptures and those who publish them. They both take advantage of women sexually and sacrifice children. In our case, their children were sacrificed to bisexuality, Satanism, and general anti-Christian behavior, and full of witchcraft and faction. They put everything that they had on their children. Operation Disclosure reported that the Alliance arrested many of the cardinals and others who were then tried and executed for molesting and sacrificing children. And we were told the current pope is a look-alike because he was prosecuted for the same thing and executed. So he was bragging about his pope taking back over that land. But that's not possible. So one search of the internet brings up the historic murder of multitudes of Christians by the Catholic Church. On the first page of the search, there comes up these articles. I didn't even go past the first page, from which I briefly quote. Anyone who wants to can go into the articles and read more of the particulars. Too much, obviously, to get into this program today. If you wanted to understand the full scope of these slaughters, it's nasty. So here's the first article I picked up on. How many people has the Catholic Church killed? I got a link here you can follow. Quote, the Catholic Church is one of the most notorious and deadliest organizations in history. It has killed an estimated 1.2 billion people over its history, making it responsible for more deaths than any other institution. In addition to its murderous legacy, the church has been accused of sexually abusing children and women for centuries. Well, this is very true, and you can go read the whole thing if you want. But my note here is that this does not include all of the children of these murdered Christians who would have grown up to be Christians. So you can see that the devil through them is trying to stamp out Christianity. Here's another one. Did the Roman Catholic Church actually persecute and kill other Christians? I have an argument with this word other here. They are not Christian. I was raised a Catholic. They are not Christian. That's a fake. And this comes from ChristianForums.com. Many today don't believe that the Roman Catholic Church actually persecuted and killed other Christians, and yet the record is clear that it did. So if you want to read on in that link, you'll see the fuller story of the slaughter of multitudes of Christians by the Catholic hierarchy. The Albigensians, the Beezers, the Cathars, the Waldensians, the Spanish Inquisition, the Hussites, Spanish Netherlands, the Huguenots, 30 years of war against the Protestants, on and on. Again, all of these stories are told here. And this does not include the persecution and killing of Jews. They have a hatred for Jews too. Jews were enslaved, their properties confiscated, their children forcibly baptized. And when the Crusades began, thousands of Jews were slaughtered all through Europe, and they marched to the Holy Land, as they marched to the Holy Land. Jews were exterminated by them in England, Spain, France, Poland, Germany, Bavaria, Austria, etc. And if you remember ISIS or ISIL, Muslim fanatics, they have nothing on the persecution of Christians by the Roman Catholic Church. They don't even count as a blip on the screen compared to these people. And yet, politicians go shake the Pope's hand all of the time. How disgraceful. Here's another one. Again, all on the first page. Did Catholics kill Christians? This is answers.com. Quote, unfortunately, yes, the Catholic Church was prepared to kill members of any Christian group that threatened their monopoly on power, and I might say money. The bloodiest example was the slaughter of the Cathars, a Gnostic Christian sect in southern France during the Middle Ages. In 1099, the First Crusade established under papal authority took Jerusalem and massacred the population, regardless of whether they were Muslim, Jewish, or Christian, saying that God would decide their fate in the next life. Oh, my goodness. That's a Muslim trait, too. They will kill Muslims in order to be able to kill Christians, you know. And they'd say, well, the Lord will pick them out, you know. Well, the People's Crusade of 1096 attacked the Hungarian city of Semlin and burnt Belgrade before being escorted across the Bosporus by Byzantine guides. It's well known that the Catholic Church instituted a pogrom against those accused of witchcraft, eventually resulting in the torture and execution of thousands of innocent women. That's not all they got from those women. Okay. These demons, like the enforcers, always accuse the Christians of doing what they themselves are doing. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. Same demons. At first, this could at least be justified by the superstition of the time. I don't think so. And gradually, the Inquisitions degenerated to the point that women were accused and executed so that their wealth could be seized, while in other cases, they were allowed to go free in return for handing over property or for sexual favors. This is one of the saddest chapters in Catholic history. Well, it seems that they have graduated to molesting and sacrificing babies more today, but they never left the other either. The Catholic Church is a large part of the harlot of Babylon. She is a mother of harlot religions born from her, which are the traditional apostate Protestant religions. Now, this is my notes here. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. Revelation 17, 1 through 6, and there came one of the seven angels that had the seven bowls and spake with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great harlot that sitteth upon many waters. Yeah, well, many peoples, tribes, and tongues. She is a harlot because she received the seed of the world instead of Jesus. They proclaim that they're Christian. They are not. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. There's the politicians. And they that dwell in the earth were made drunken with the wine of her fornication. So the political types always cater to the masses of duped religious people. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. This is the one-world political beast. full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, that's their favorite colors, by the way, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, rich beyond her needs, while her people starve. Yes. Having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication. And she will be and do anything you want if it pleases her flesh and makes her money and gains numbers. Okay. And upon her forehead a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of the harlots of the abominations of the earth. So she brought forth the harlot churches. Yeah, they're called the Protestant churches. Go back and look at those as they started out. They're not far from the original. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Yep, she has murdered multitudes to hold her evil position. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Yes, we're very familiar with that in the Middle East. We've buried some of her martyred saints, and of course, it's our fault to them, which is stupid demons, right? And when I saw her, I wondered with a wonder. Yeah, Revelation 18, 1 through 3. After these things, I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he carried with a mighty voice, he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and has become a habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. So, let me say, the Catholics are part of the religious side of this. There's also a political side of this, like the deep state. But they got the same demons. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication, all the nations are fallen. And the kings of the earth committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness. And the light of a lamp shall shine no more at all in thee. There will be no light in that corrupt institution. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. There will be nobody in that corrupt institution that is a member of the bridegroom or the bride. Right? For thy merchants were the princes of the earth. For with thy sorcery, same word for witchcraft, by the way, which our Satanists are famous for too, were all the nations deceived. And that's what they do with their witchcraft. Ours, our local satanic coven, they deceive people with witchcraft. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that have been slain upon the earth. Yep. They're guilty of the blood of the saints. Revelation 19, 1 through 3. After these things I heard, as it were, a great voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation, glory, and power belong to our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great harlot, her that corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And a second time they say, Hallelujah! And her smoke goeth up forever and ever. And now our Satanist faction has joined with them and will receive of her plagues. They too are guilty of the blood of the saints. I was raised a Catholic but left in my teen years. And when I and my wife were later saved and started reading the Bible, we realized that we had been completely lied to about God, and that none of the people I knew in Catholicism knew that you must be born again. And I witnessed that they were not by nature born again. It was a huge deception to keep people from the truth. My wife was almost a nun in her last year of training before I met her, when she asked God if she was to come back to the next year for more training of the same. And he told her very clearly, she said she never heard anything more clear, get out of here and never come back. After she was saved and learned about the deception, she decided to go to a Catholic study to ask questions. They don't study the Bible, by the way. And when she brought up some of the history, the priest told her, quote, leave the skeletons in the closet, unquote. In other words, let me say, if the root is rotten, so is the tree. Okay. She was dating two people after that. She came out. At one time, one had studied to be a priest. And then there was me, who was to her a pagan. So she asked the Lord which one she would marry. And to her shock, he said, David. So then she said, well, you'll have to save him then. So he did, but not how she had expected at that time. Okay. There is an exception to the rule in Catholicism. Some of the Catholic charismatics are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is leading the elect out of the false traditions of men. I know I've been associated with them somewhat, and I can see that they're coming out. My mom was a Catholic because she had that religious spirit connected to it. So, being weak to the weak, I took her to a Catholic charismatic meeting. And a nun, in full habit, locked eyes on her and came to ask her if she could speak with her in another room. And she agreed. So, I went along for the ride. And that nun was in disguise and preached the gospel to her straight as an arrow. I mean, it was awesome. It wasn't long after that that she was reading the testimony books on my bookshelf. Praise the Lord. Anyway, the Catholics murder some of our missionaries, but this is having a good effect because people around disagree with that, as they did the first time they murdered some of our people. And it brought them converts. Yeah. Here it is. Vision of the Middle East Brethren maturity. In other words, this is for the people who had this loss of life because of these Catholics and others. And this is anonymous, 728-23. I saw the brethren in the Middle East with extraordinary faith and with no doubt hindering them, and knowing their power and authority in Christ, and knowing the word spiritually and applying it. They had faith that the enemy can't even touch them because they know the price paid and who of the one who lives in them. I saw demons trembling because of the faith that they had and because Jesus was manifested through them. It was not just their enemies trembling, but also the spirits in all those around them. They were in fear of Jesus in them because he was so strong in them. No weapon formed against them would prosper, and because they knew it is true, and they knew Satan is under their feet with no doubt, the enemy's power will be taken away and given to the brethren in full while on earth. While writing this down, the following came to me. Quote, I have a perfect purpose for the circumstances that have been happening with the brethren in the Middle East. I am teaching them many things, and there is a great witness of my truth through all of this. I felt this witness was not just the brethren, but also their enemies and others seeing and knowing about it. Yes, we'll share an instance of that in a moment. Soon, great faith will be poured out and manifested through them, and they will be strong in spirit, and my word will be manifested and applied, and there will be greater miracles and power than you all expect. So here's a vision of the brethren going to be with Jesus. In other words, those who were killed by the Catholics. And this is Anonymous 727-23. I saw a part of heaven, and there were fields, and the grass was greener than any green in the physical. Everything else, however, was like gold, but in different colors, and it was all light. Jesus was standing there looking behind me, and his giant arms were stretched out wide, so welcoming, as if waiting for a hug. I turned behind me and saw numerous people, women, children, many men walking towards Jesus. They were looking around in extreme awe and joy, and their skin and form were perfect, no blemishes or anything. They were perfect and whole. In other words, some of these people were slaughtered, you know, and they wouldn't have been whole. Except they're in heaven now. There was no more evil, no more curse or suffering, only joy. They knew they were home. They were only fully Jesus now, and they were greeted and welcomed, and Jesus was the most joyful that they were now there with him, one with and in him. It was as if Jesus had waited forever for that moment of them coming to him. It felt as if Jesus' heart towards them all, good and faithful servants. But they were each so unique and special, and Jesus needed each of them, and that each individual was so greatly treasured and precious and loved and needed to be with him. I then felt they are all one in Christ now, and all of our brethren, but Jesus and the Father the most, are awaiting for us to be 100% united with them. We sent this and the following one to them to spread around over there, and the people were just joyous. You know, that their loved ones who had been murdered, their missionaries who had been murdered, were happy to be in the arms of Jesus. So we call this one, Enemies Turning to Jesus, Anonymous 730-23. As I was in a state of being, half awake and half asleep, when I saw a man who was one of the leaders of the false Christian killers in the Middle East. This man was very influential, and everyone looked to him, and he had a zeal for the, quote, Christianity, unquote, he believed in, but he was ruthless. I saw God open his eyes to see the truth of the word, and he truly repented for all the evil that he had done, and God completely changed him. He was sharing the truth with others that looked up to him in the false Christianity religion. And some were so awed and shocked at this man's big change, and I knew they would see the real truth too. Kind of like Paul, right? He was killing Christians, but God made a great change. And boy, he was powerful then. He had something to prove too. I saw there were others who were so angry and filled with such hatred, but by God changing this leader, he became an incredible witness to all those who were under him and looked up to him. I knew that this was going to happen. It was so awesome and amazing to see. I was then reminded of Saul/Paul and how Jesus woke him up to the truth, and he had killed many followers of Jesus, just like this man, and had at that, he will come to the truth too. Well, amen. I agree. Well, Father, we thank you that you work all things together for the good. We thank you for the love that you are showing our brethren who have passed on. They've done a good job. Now they're able to rest. And we praise you and we thank you that they're entering into your arms, Lord Jesus, and blessed forever. In Jesus' name, amen.